Engineering News, the most widely read publication in biotechnology, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. Sponsored by Roche Applied Science, exclusive distributor of the innovative Genome Sequencer 20. Genome Sequencer 20 is first to the finish in revolutionizing generation of DNA sequencing data at over 20 million bases per run. Sequence genomes in days or weeks, not months, with the Genome Sequencer 20. This week on the GenCast Network, Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling talks to Dr. Richard Gibbs from the Baylor College of Medicine about frontiers in DNA sequencing.
Dr. Richard Gibbs is the director of the Baylor College of Medicine's Human Genome Sequencing Center. While studying the molecular basis of human X-linked diseases, Dr. Gibbs played a key role in helping to develop technologies for rapid genetic analysis, as well as several fundamental techniques for nucleic acid analysis. In addition to his work on the Human Genome Project, Dr. Gibbs has made significant contributions to the deciphering of the fly, mouse, and rat genomes. He has been the recipient of numerous honors and awards, including the Michael DeBakey Excellence in Research Award in 2000. Dr. Gibbs, how would you compare the state of DNA sequencing technology now versus 10 years ago?
Well, thank you, John. We're going through a very interesting transition right now. While, in fact, there are not that many new ideas that are being worked on right now, the intensity with which they're being pursued and the degree of chemical innovation and engineering excellence that's being applied to them and simply the number of dollars that are being put into the enterprise is really quite refreshing. So there's this big infusion of enthusiasm right now into developing ideas that have been somewhat latent for the last decade.
Now, which advances would you say have the greatest impact in driving DNA sequencing technology forward?
Well, it depends how recently you want to talk about, but I think what you've got to keep your eye on is what is actually available in people's hands. And so I think there's little question that following the Sanger wave that came through the whole human genome sequencing period, the pyro sequencing type methodology and the implementation of that synthesis sequencing by 454 has really had the biggest impact simply because they've had machines out there. But as we see now Solexa and these other groups coming forwards with yet different chemistry and deploying them, I think that those events will have huge ramifications.
You know, what other kinds of development activity have energized the sequencing community over the last few years?
Well, I think that's a great question, and you need to look beyond the actual sequencing technology for that. And so we see, on the one hand, initiatives like the $1,000 Genome Challenge put forward by the NHGRI and the grand prize, this X Prize for high-speed sequencing technology, and also the general interest in genetics. I think that the impact of genetics on some of the rare cancers and the growing awareness of genetic contributions to disease are actually making people think more about what genetics can do for them, and that's in turn asking them how they can get the genetic data.
Now, with these new sequencing technologies that are coming around, what kinds of new data might we expect to find as a result of these new technologies?
Well, you know, as you know, over the last decade and a half, we've enjoyed these very long and high fidelity Sanger sequence reads, fluorescence reads, that, you know, 800 bases and 95% success rates and errors of, you know, less than one in a couple of hundred bases are quite common. And so we've been spoiled by that. And now what we're going to see is at a lower cost per unit, we're going to see this proliferation of shorter and more error-prone data. And that's going to give us informatic challenges to make best use of them. So in aggregate, the data quality may be there, but the individual assays may well not have the same underlying quality as the Sanger data. And then we may see a transition out of that so that the data quality issues match each other. But this initial phase of data quality and length difference will be the biggest challenge.
Now, in reading on these new sequencing technologies, this topic comes up, and in some cases it seems to be a question and people wonder about this. What is this whole issue about short versus long read lengths, and why are some people concerned about one of the other in terms of what they enable researchers to do?
Well, I think the concerns come in the context of de novo sequencing of genomes with frequently repeated sequences of length longer than the actual sequence read. That's the big challenge. And so if you only have 20 base reads, how do you assemble a genome that has 300 base repeats in it? So there's certain levels of challenge there that you need real innovations to meet. But the concern is greatly ameliorated by the appropriate huge interest in repetitive sequencing for discovery of genetic variation. And there, the sequence length is simply not such an obstacle. You can rediscover the same sequence and discover subtle variation in it quite adequately with the shorter reads. There is a challenge in establishing longer haplotypes, that is, getting contiguity through variant regions, but that challenge has already been there with the Sanger data, so it's not new.
Okay, so picking up on that last point again, how will these novel sequencing technologies help researchers learn more about genetic variation, which I guess in pharmacogenomics and doing studies of different populations, that seems to be the real key to the research?
Well, it's all about getting data at a lower cost with the appropriate quality. You know, at the beginning of the Human Genome Project, we were kind of putting our toe in the water, having little bits of sequence here and there through the genome, but not really having the whole picture. And I think we're there in the same way, in a similar situation when we think about different disease problems and different groups of individuals with genetic variation that you need to discover. Right now, we can just look through a very narrow pipe to get a view of any set of genetic variation we want to. But if these techniques succeed, you can imagine taking literally hundreds of samples and getting complete ascertainment of the variation in those samples and doing your genetic studies based on that full knowledge of all the variation. And that's just tremendously exciting when you're trying to understand genetic disease.
Okay. Now, my final question sort of plays off of the first one where I asked you to compare the state of DNA sequencing now versus 10 years ago. Let's look a decade down the line. If these advances continue to be made and researchers advance all these different techniques, what might DNA sequencing look like? Or in other words, what will we be able to do, say, 10 years from now that we can't do now?
Well, I think in 10 years it'll look somewhat like specific gene-targeted assays look like right now in DNA diagnostics. That is, right now you can, without too much trouble, ask questions about different individual loci in a patient or in yourself, and examine that variation through a DNA diagnostic service or in a clinical setting. But in 10 years, I think we can be optimistic that you'll get complete genome surveys, if not for every base in the genome, at least for all the coding regions and their surrounds, and that will extend into somatic variation too, and so the cancer problem will be looked at more with a molecular diagnosis of the genome as a first pass. So I think that's exactly where we're heading, and probably 10 years is about right to say that we'll get there with that full deployment.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, be sure to visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next Thursday.